How are you? I just want to say a big hello to you. I still remember you. Are you still with the Vista too? I'm not no more. This lady here, Miss Morgan, got a tape recorder here. She's going over to Point Hope. Whenever that whale season is open or whale season time. I just remember you. I just want to say a big hello to you. This is Raymond Paniak.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Hello. Amos. Amos Lane, of course. Oh, my nephew, you know, and I could talk in Eskimo with my own tongue. I hope you get this time on too well. It's a big one, too. I like to eat some of the muktak. Well, muktak to let the rumor. Was it by the shagalat of rope? And then Jimmy Kiligwa Gazette Chuck. Hello, Cora, I made a talk, made a park to create some new woman. You soon up to Roma. After you crack to Jack of Cook, then you make it like a law, Amiga. How to move me up for government. How to crack. Here is it. But then now need a marine rules. Black rule of public nurse. Sakunia Halori Katu. For a patrician to my jacket, you want to go back to the gate of a soil of any patrician. I get tarnished. I get your cock to me. When you're getting old, you always say a little having a little trouble. And he was wearing his body. But part of that good to get army to work a little bit of time. And why they work new fun and games.
Hey, Point of Hope people again. I would say is big hello to Okpeluwak. And then David Frankson and Daniel Lisburn and all the guys there. And the guy that Ami Ram of the Dickish Oblong of what? He loved and he showed up rooming up, but he saw coming at Louisin to Canadian. Ala pit lui tau tu ngai lui tim ma ke pa lak tau te sam ngo su na me si biu ke ba kata che sta si vet ma kra pe pe me krai ma ak si mata telepo ka ti blu ka ka ti la ka lo li ma mi kap kwe ma sa pe me pa pi bi si la me o telepo lu la ngi kiam na lu na ni chok sa mata ro ni ai port road me saya pengen min nak syok telah pukut paket keluar lagi kia pak semaki sila pisau nak kan aku pengen ni akan luar lagi upa usaha doa ngak suput itu larangnya duit kan aku tutik temu suput itu larangnya kot nah udah gau teh sekenya ni aku pengen ni aku unip duit sebelah kia akan milium unit kalau waktu Pa inune aku tu kan nak tu bang milu di tapula agan ni nyolot dik pakai la pakai lah agle ke ning chit ni ubla kun agle ke ni alu ali chit boblu pak ma February kung upaim niya 27th February 1972 ta ngayo kwa lak tili chua ta pura ujoko anakan anakatit ka kinyuwe kalawa unak tutam minyuwe kalawa tut alapit luit pit katikilayit pa luit kita pura angunyat lahat yung ato kuliak tuwa ako tingit kipsi kuyo pagka makuupalok takalo akto kay matusaro ni awlalait siyo kiso katahat laro ni kaso kung nakamin niya kalo aktak paliksit agila na nagit sa kipiatan lang itsut sabra tusaat na sa kidawap siya ki inyong ama inyong ama aktuali ako nagsito ngayon ko sila kita marla wabu nga 71 years old ngokto nga pag mapag nasa pagtabo man eh e purong ngokpat kisam mo yukakte may walita mo tayo nito nagla itla na itkalak tunga tapura patsito ko nga pingo ipigas niya yaligit mo sila gigit mat sinumasin matigil ako lahat ng bungal sila gipen niya amat kusyan nung masin makikilit laga lakto ko. Ba, kuya naakpag kaya ako na rikwata ko ramit sagak to ako kaktin mga aloktin mga ilipsin yun. Masa ma, nayang ngamit ko yung para ipsi, ilokap si tatuk matun ilipsi, ilaman. Kang ikakabi at ikinig sa nikiga kaya tagtubura. Lahat niti kitsukulwis yung magalawa aktong kilut na mukturo o pulong at apura. At yuwa sa mga kama, ikuti sila mga kasitso ang nga iligit lingo. Si pagkukto halong sa mga kama ipapag. Kutkoksing iligit lingo at apura. Pura tabung agala. Kwalalakto nga. Kupaya sih, makupaya orang lagi sih. Ya ni golok, golok mikup sih mat. Berikuat akal waktu tu berikuat apa ni? Kau golok kup sih. Ia mak berikuat apa akal waktu tu? Malu berikuat aksual kan ni? Berikuat apa ada gelar temat kau malah kalsen? Berikuat ada tinggi apa yang ikut tu ni? Kalsen ni temat kau ni kat golok mati tu. Sungguh nak gelar. Saya menalak tuan ikhtak sila lagi buk. Minta aktung kalau ambil video. Atak sup gitu ilah ni temur pika lo aktung. Temur kuningnya. Berikuasa ni pia kuhati gitu buah. Tuyuk takti siram ni gila. Lalu kesuk si maam tu belum lah. Saya nak cemik. Berikuasa ni ngicu mata buah. Tuyuk takti siram ka. Ini wake aso ini dulu dulu. Sebab tapi mungkin lah. Jadi kalau lagi tu aku yang nak pek, ni smoking. Semua. Ubat terat tak tak ingin nikah saya mesti penyak. Meski aja sebelum ni punya jisanya amik kong. Tatal kini malakah. Kau tinggi nikah sesem, apabila kata saya pengen miruk, lokatik kiriuk tak mana, saya pengen mitas itu kahatik jan, asih semai pun ngopet, begini ani gaya cubung, seperti tu aluk, aku jenah aksi. Hello, ah, wa, hello ni aku nak sesama aku itu minum. Balikin yung isimap nyo ito na nito at point home me. Di lang isinis. Nagsi kunuyak. Yung isimariya ka lang. Yung isimap yata ay kunuyak. Kanani ayat ko yane kangay niya sa bakama. Ang usakit lang ang makuninga inyuronik. Kasuti-suro kinihilo. Kunuyam. Unyok tolay sa nganit kalasyo iya.
พระลกปรายกินาลักษามยานก็มีลกปรเปลละกิจจุบากินโดลากะกิจนาติกิโลลักษาปยักตัวเต็มแล้วก็ลองไงชาโลจะปกตินิคโยจะอาชีพเจ้าฮัลโหลพระกามีวะมีชิมักมีกำนิกมีรักอันตาบันนี้กูว่ากันไม่อะไรกูว่าใจกับตาอีชิมาเยะตาหน้าใจเสียดินนายลักจอมีนานนายลักจอมีนานในเป้าจามในเจ็บปักตาหน้าฮัลโหลปักปิ้งเอาไว้เจ็บปลิ้นเลยลักจิตติกอีกใครก็รอที่กินให้รู้เขาหน้าเงาติดติงกะลอยติงเจ็บปลิ้นหลักชุกอาชีพวากติลฮัลโหลปักมีกับบอนีสเชลเดนวากติจามนะฮัลโหลปักนิยูกันเราที่นี่อามีอาชีอาสลักเจมเนี่ยเป็นเงากะลอยมีปุกที่ยูริกวัดตีนึงอาชีวากเกย์ยาวนิกที่ยกเชลเลอุติปิงปันนาคุกีปักเชลเนียราหุตะพิวต์วากลันสมอปนาคาระปักพิโอนิอาลอยปิกีนักคนิกจับคนง่ายเงียดุลละกาณิกปิงาชุนิกยักอาชีคันซิวนิยักกิลางันนลุกขยิบลูกนาการุติขายยาวลูกนาการอาณังงอกาลูกอากาลกันิกพิยุลละคุมงะคันซิวนิยักกิลางันนิกนาการุติขายยาวลูกวิจารกันละกายมาตามนาคลักกิยูริกกิยูตินจะมาได้กี่ปักชิมารายสุริอัตวิงไงจกขับสิงยูนิมาตุลักกะลอยคุยนายโยนะโอคักติชิโรเลลมัวกันบริกวาตามิกุวะคายบดุนิโอคักติชิรางาจะเสมองะอิจิปสิงยันแต่พระปัญญาโคการักษอกแซมันเทนในชิมิกอินุกติโยอัลลอมันอินุกติวิตโกตาวเจนในชินิกธรรมราตักซีลลักษณะลักตัวรูลิจุดอักลานวาปานาเจนในชิมิกวิตโกตานิอินิลิกิปันเจนในชิมิกปินิกินิอลิกิมิลมะเทปตุลารวนิกธรรมรงอักลานุขังอิลักตัวตีกุมมันธรรมนัยอิคัดกุนอิคัลลาโรยะโอคามะกามานุนันนุวัดติดตัวในยูรินยาคับตะอุปเรบลูตามนะอุคลาวสิลลาโรยะสุมิคลาวคับตะข้าวนาสิริอินเดกมันอุปเรกุตามนะยานนี่ข้าวนาสิไรชัวจุนิริบลูใจยูนยาโกะลาวตูดวัดติดตัวในยาคริบมาจุนข้าวนาสิไงยานยาคาติุปคิลลูกาวรานยาลาวคับตะวิลาจะเทบุตรไลน์ยังมาดูกาตีกับตะคนยังนักตกจำนากลันอาชีอังอายุจะการานี่อามีกับตะคันุสิปยักกินลูกเอาในลาวกะลาวกับติววิลานุนังอายุกับเทสุเลกุติงไงยันนี่มันติดฝากตัวที่ยุ่งยันนี่มาติกุติคุณิยะกลางยันนิกตัวนิกจำนักคนยังนักเมียแต่พอจะลงอากลันโอ้ข้างไงยักตุงเอาว่าไอ้มาสมอร์กุตไป
boleh halok tu raksak tu nga halok kala kalu net nusang niya sama kata halo sama tu sama ni cunak tu siksuli ba halok patitik wama newspaper liok taulam kala kabulu nga din mga halok tu raksak tu nga halok mega MS Lang อาทิตย์ประหยัดปุ่นหุบมีดนาลานิโรประหยัดทะเลวัชชะบ่มาขัดตรงอาจารย์กลายสิ่งก็ thank you
hello I just want to say hello to people down Point Hope I didn't even know anybody but I know Amos Lang this is Mrs. Sakurai Sugar I just want to say hello to everybody that I used to know people down there name of Martha and Marcus Vincent, when we used to go to Mount Eastern School last time, around 1953, but I don't know where they are. In a way, I said hello to their parents, Vincent. this, one of our friends here that She's going to go down Point Hope, I guess, next month, you say? Leo, but she's a nice lady, in a way. I saw one last to her that I worked. Let's see, I didn't know what to say. In a way, I said hello to everybody that, I was able to get a microphone. Tau tu tinjak tu ilau tu minyak ni apa tak awak? Tema semula ka angai itu mati itu ni kaya tu lagi buat abang mohon kaya itu keluar buat. Sebelum ni bang tau siapa? Ah, aku tu ngah cakap sebab kata awak. Ah, kalau kau kau ni dah sah. Ubah bang paninga home mission am ini semua sih nak lari sih Mungkin kita suka kong ng long time asiga. Inya sila kaya nito kung magtawa ka tinig ng mga isulit ko ng mga tawa. Mga tawa.
To Charlie and Denise Sheldon from Mikey Marco and Anna Kubik. Hi there. I hope you get a chance to listen to this tape if Leo runs you down. Got your letter just after Christmas and glad to hear that you're up in Point Hope now and enjoying yourselves up there. And I'm glad that Bernie's got an airplane, and I hope she does get a chance to fly down here like she said she would to see Amos and the rest of us. And I hope Charlie's going to run his claim this summer on the Kobuk. If he's still going to do it again this summer, let me know how it comes out, because I'd like to know how those big boulders turn out and how a saw works and everything. And I'd like to know if you're doing any work with the jig during the winter, Charlie. But I just thought I'd take this opportunity to say hi. And we do hope you get down this summer. We won't get up to Point Hope, of course. That's way out there. but we do hope you get here. Bernie, there's some talk about a experienced teacher workshop sometime that some of our teachers are trying to put together. It's basically headed up by Bob McGuire and Sammy Hamilton down at Allatackett. I think you know them. And they're looking for a grant, probably from the Ford Foundation or the Mott Foundation, to run this teacher workshop this summer for a week or two, or maybe a little longer. Completely run by teachers and set the program set up by teachers for our own needs. If that gets off the ground, I'll let you know. And if you think it's a good idea, let me know. We can use some support. And even if we can't get a grant, we're going to try to get a bunch of teachers together sometime this summer to do something. Well, that's about all I had to say. Write again and tell us how you're doing, and I'll try to sit down and write a letter myself. I hope you're doing fine up there at that. I mean, that's a big school, though. I don't know how anybody could go from a 2 or 3 teacher school to a, I think it's 10 teachers up there. But tell us how you're doing and how you like it, and we'll try to write to you. So I guess that's all for now.
So I know that the news matter because my beat was to cover outside of Fairbanks in the villages. Well, I wanted to cover the issues. I wanted to cover education and land claims and hunting and fishing rights and all kinds of important things. The only problem is they gave me other duties, like I had court. I didn't have police, I had court, and I had state offices. And this kept me, they kept me bound till I couldn't travel, and therefore I couldn't explore, you know, the problems properly. And they seemed to want to put in all these columns at that time, which, you know, I have appreciation for personal items, you know, who came today and all that, you know, and who visits and who put these in our papers, some of them.
Yeah.
But if you're putting those in to the exclusion of everything else, you're just putting one column after another of these columns in a personal life.
And you're at the mercy of the columnist. Now, Guy Oakley is probably, you know, a lot of people who read him in New York write me that they hope he'll make a book of everything he's ever written. But Guy Oakley is pretty rare. I mean, most of them are kind of boring.
Right. And they're, well, they seem to have the position, the deal that they would, they thought that this, the English, you know, the way the phrasing, the oblocution and so forth, you know, that this was fascinating, you know, particularly for the tourists and also for the local people, you know, to read this. Well,
it still is.
Yeah, it still is, and that's true, you know. I mean, however, what happens when when the issues are not being covered, you know? I mean, that's the problem. How are they ever going to solve problems? How are they ever going to be upgraded if they're not going to be tackled? How are they ever going to pressure for change in an area where there is so much need for change, you know? So I was, to be frank, I was sort of frustrated myself because here I was, they were saying, they were telling me to edit these columns, but don't edit them too much. And here I was trying, I would go through the columns and I was trying to straighten them up, and yet they would tell me, they didn't want me to put them in, you know, real good English. You know, they wanted me just to barely straighten them up a little bit and to type them. That's what I did, type them up. It was sort of hard sometimes to type them up because, the handwriting, I mean, you know, and so forth. Sometimes it was just real sketchy. You couldn't all the time tell what they were actually saying, and you couldn't phone them because no phones.
Well, anyway, the way we handled Guy's column, he just correct the spelling and we punctuate. But he does pretty good on these lessons himself, you know. In 3 years he has learned how to spell, has learned how to punctuate and things. We don't have to do too much about him, but we just don't change the style of putting it down. And in that way, well, he's a lot of times very funny. And he's very fascinating, you know, the way he expresses himself and nothing. And he always gets to the bottom of the thing, you know, without using proper language, proper English, you know.
His guy's column was sort of not typical. This is not typical.
It's excellent. It's much better than the
what it was mostly was just like it was Mr. Herbert from Child Kids.
Yeah.
And that would be, it was really sort of, I thought it was sort of boring. It was so and so came today from Fort Yukon, and so and so caught so many beaver, and sent in the beaver skinny, and this and that and the other. Well, anyway, you know, you have to judge all that stuff for the value. But when I was at the Newsminer, I was just upset because I thought the space was not being properly utilized.
Well, now, who got up? You got up to that meeting in Barrow. Did any other white reporters go up to that meeting?
No, I think I was the only one. I was the only one there.
That's what I kind of gathered. And
see, Tom, we wound up roommates. Roommates when we first got up there. Of course, at that time, I was sort of a little bit befuddled about certain things, but I was getting the drift of it. And Tom was explaining some of these things and what he thought was being done and all that. And it was very, very valuable.
Had you known each other before that meeting?
Yeah, we had known each other. It was not
too
well.
How come you haven't been that much in Fairbanks?
Not too well, but we got to know each other before we got up there.
Mm-hmm.
And then
you remember where you met?
Here in Fairbanks.
It was something on art. I think it was Clara Page, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it was.
Well, mm-hmm, and then I had that one-man show.
Travels in. Although, I think that one-man show was after that, wasn't it?
Yeah, that one-man show was after that.
But previous to that, I had known him and talked to him. Oh, I know how it was. It was on that deal, you know, where I had written about Project Chariot.
For the Newsminer?
And that was even before we started the advertising. And he had followed this, and I have been, I forgot the man who went up to Point Hope, and, you know, the leader of the AAC delegation. Mm-hmm. Who was he?
Was it Mr. Vermillion? Wasn't Vermillion? No.
No, it wasn't. I don't think it was Vermillion.
No.
It wasn't Seaboard.
No. It was before him. I would have to go back and file a look up because I forgot what his name was. But anyway, he'd gone up there.
And you must have been kind of grappling for some information on this subject.
Yes. You see, when I went to Point Hope in 1961 to visit my folks up there, and when I got there, they were very much worried about Project Chariot, and they were looking for people who they can depend on for help, and they all sort of pinpointed me, and I didn't know the darn thing about the whole thing at all. As I listened to them, I began to realize that they did have a very deep problem. You know, they would affect their way of living. You know, like if these devices were exploded, and a lot of the pollution, you know, radioactive pollution would escape into the sea. and they live off the sea a great deal. Like whales and seals and walrus and ubus and clams and tomcod. And
poet, about 3 o'clock the other morning, I read the column about where you visited the bear for the first time.
Yeah.
And I had thought that your folks spoke better English than they did. They didn't speak much English at all, did they?
But I, you see, I picked up, I don't know, well, I don't like to say it, but I was a little brighter than most kids, I think, when I was small. And I picked up English pretty fast.
But I thought Sam Rock spoke better English than he didn't speak so good English either.
No, he didn't. No, he didn't. My father. That's my father. But I picked up English pretty well, and when I got on, my father took me out to the bear one day, and I was still about 8, 9, somewhere in there. I had learned. Anyway, I had learned a few things, you know, like no sir, yes sir, and how are you, and what you gonna do, and all these things, you know. And these sailors on the bear, Cutter Bear, got a great bang out of it, you know. Because
how old were you then?
Six, about eight, nine, around there. I was kind of little. I grew up kind of skinny. You wouldn't know it now. Anyway, I learned these things from other people.
So when you got back to Point Hope after all those years in Seattle and so on, actually, nobody there still spoke too much good English. They understood what was going on, but they didn't really have anybody who could speak.
When was this?
When you got back from Seattle and they were going...
Oh, yeah, they still didn't speak too well. In fact, when I got there, I still knew my language pretty well. But then I, after being away for many years, I was in Seattle where no Eskimo was spoken. Well, of course, naturally, well, I got rusty on it. When I got back, and I still knew some, pretty good, 1948, that was when I came back. And, I would start out with Eskimo, who was speaking to my mother, who was still alive then, and father. And I'd get stuck right in the middle of the sentence, you know, and then I'd finish it in English. And mother and father, both of them were. Got a great bang out of this, you know, that's why it was kind of funny. And I was a little bit embarrassed, you know. Quite a bit embarrassed, you know, because I wasn't able to finish the whole sentence. But at that time, after staying with the folks for 2 weeks, I began to pick my language up again, you know. And by the time I left, in 3 weeks, I was speaking it very well. Although with some Eskimo language mistakes, but they still got a bang out of me trying to speak Eskimo language. I was doing pretty well, and then I had to leave again, you know. But later on, after more years up there, of course, my language base deteriorated. Now I'm getting older and I can't, my learning power is making, or maybe, I don't know, but...
I gotta tell how to talk language at best, you know, and it's highly more complicated than English,
I think. Well, anyway, I can still speak quite a bit of it, and I can understand my sister speaking it to me over the phone, telephone, from here. When they're living here in Seattle, she calls me up once in a while in Eskimo. I can understand her, and I answer in English.
And I thought it was amazing. We got a copy of the paper from Greenland, you know,
yeah.
And Howard could read and understand the paper from Greenland. He'd never been there. Same language.
Basically, it's the same language. I do have a little trouble. I can make out the same words and all that, you know. But I'm sorry to say, Tom, that I can't read it all together.
No,
Did you learn to write it as a kid? No, I never learned to write it.
Although there are, you know, they're like green ones, you know, they have their own way of writing this. But they're starting to do something about it now.
Tom, you just didn't get to be Bush editor for the News Minor because, you know, you were vague about it. How did you get wrapped up in the first place? It's easy to live all your life in Fairbanks and never pay any attention to the Bush.
Well, you mean how did I become interested in it?
Yeah. When did you come to Alaska?
Oh, I came to Alaska in 1959.
Right behind you, was it?
No, my sister lived here with her husband. She had taken, oh, you don't want to sell this.
Okay.
She had taken hotel management, political science, and in connection with hotel management, she came to Mount McKinley Park. And while she was at Mount McKinley Park, well, her lawyer, Redmond, who she later married, was working there. She met him there, and then she came back the following year, and they later married. And then she moved, and she was here. She moved here, and so she kept wanting me to come to visit her, and I didn't particularly want to come because, for one thing, the ticket to come from Missouri or Virginia was considerable, and I had negative connotations on my side.
Virginia was my former home,
but then when she asked me to come, I never had a vacation, but I was coming up where I was going to have 3 months, where I was going to be, you know, had to go somewhere for a vacation or, you know, and so I was thinking about even going back to Virginia, but I'd been there quite a bit, and I wanted to go someplace different, but then it was going to cost money. But she'd give me this invitation that kept wanting me to come. So what she did was, right as I was having my final examinations, she sent a round-trip ticket.
Where were you in school?
I was at the University of Missouri, graduate school journalism. And she sent a round-trip ticket. And she said, you can come, and if you want to, you can just stay 2 or 3 days or a week or 2 weeks, or if you want to, you can stay all summer. And so I thought, well, that's all right. That's not too bad. I can come, and as soon as I don't like it, I can hop on the plane and back up.
I think that was one of the most fortunate situations that developed, even though I wasn't around in Fairbanks yet. But the thing, the way it came out.
So when I got here, I was very sort of fascinated. They landed in it, also, you know, and they brought us up to that Traverse Inn, and I go, oh my land, they don't even have the streets paved. You know, it was a dust storm. And the mosquitoes were bad, and it took me a little while, but then she was working, and Lloyd was working. And they had me at home all day by myself, which was very unusual for me because I'd always been where there was action, you know. So I couldn't take that too much, you know, stand there at home. So I wanted to get a job, but I wanted to get one that was temporary. And so I looked in the newspaper, and the only thing that I could find that was temporary was city directory, taking data from city directory. I said, oh, that's perfect, because I'll be going in all these homes. That's what I'm going to do, is go in these homes. And so, but unfortunately, it didn't pay very much, only something like something an hour. And you're supposed to walk, borrowed my sister's car. I would take her to work, let her off, and then she worked for the state, so she had a state car during the day, And so then I would drive around, and then I'd go back to her place and pick her up at night. So then I used to use her car. So I'm getting this data for city directory. I just go and park, and then I'd walk down one street and left side the other, and I'd drive on. So it wasn't too bad, I mean, really. And it was utterly fascinating. I'd go into so many of these houses, and it was completely different from the lower states, where everybody down there sort of, you know, sort of stiff and formal and so forth. But up here, they were inviting me in for a drink. They were, I'd run into all kind of parties. I had trouble finding people because so many of them lived down in basements and holes, you know, and I couldn't even find where the entrance was. And I was trying to find all these addresses, and I'd come up to a number, and the number wasn't there. It was missing. And I'd find out, oh, they moved that house over two blocks over that way. And there I was having to go track down these houses. There was one house I went all over town to hunt for, and finally I found out that it had been donated to the Girl Scouts of America. And so finally I found it. I said, well, I wasn't giving up. And I was driving that car all around trying to find that house. I found it, and they hit it up. It was on top of the city dump. And so anyway, I liked this very much, this city, although it wasn't very profitable.
I was just going to ask you how much you paid.
It was $2-something an hour, $2.75 an hour or something.
At that time, that was...
Well, it was burning. And the gas, you know, they didn't pay for that. So really, all it amounted to was about that I made the expenses for the gas and the food, maybe my lunch, and that was it. But see, I wasn't doing it because what I was wanting to do, and I'd go and I'd chat when I'd go in to get the data. I'd get just a little bit of data, take about 2 or 3 minutes, and I'd talk to everybody about 15 minutes.
He's good at that.
So anyway, this bit where I went, I met so many interesting people, and I liked the deal because it was informal and all that bit. So I was liking it at that point. One of the streets where that I went with my city directory was Plantation Away, and that's where the editor of the News Miner, and so that was one of my cards.
Was that Smith?
No, his name was Cliff Cernick.
Oh, yeah. Cliff Cernick.
And so I ran into Cliff Cernick, and I took his data down, and then he had me sit down and have coffee, and I told him about going to school at the University of Missouri. We talked all about journalism and about the paper and so forth. And so then he was telling me about how that they may have one of the reporters leaving soon, and that if they were having trouble filling it, would I be willing to come on and temporarily to fill in until they could get someone else? I'd explain that I was going back to school. And I said, oh, yes. And goodness, it was before... Just about a week later, someone had called. I don't know if it was him. One had called back, and the guy had was leaving quicker than they thought. And there was one if I could come to start work at a certain time, you know. And this job, these enumerators, like I was with that city director, they just come and went. Some of them didn't last 2 days, you know. Because of all that walking. So, I didn't feel real bad about stopping, you know.
Especially with the 2:30 an hour.
And with the amount. And so I think I did tell him I had to give him at least a week's notice. So I did, and I went and started over and worked for him. Now, the thing was, I was just going to work during this summer deal until they got a replacement. But what happened was they didn't get a replacement. I kept on working, and I got into the summer, and I got all entwined with stories. They kept giving me more and more stories to do. And it's yes, I did. I got inclined in these, this, and the other. And when it got time for me to go back to school, then they come out with a bench. They didn't have a replacement, and then they came out with a bench. Well, why don't you just work this one semester and go back the second semester in the winter? That's when people
How
go out.
How far through school were you?
I did 1 year. Yeah, I did 1 year, and then I had another year, and so that's how that I got up. It was just a deal. I got inclined, and then in the middle of the winter, I was even further inclined, and so I just kept on staying. And then I had gone that year up there to with Howard, and I got interested in the bush. And was
How'd you happen to go to that meeting?
I would like to find out because
well,
it was very fortunate, you know, that he was there because he really, really started out this from journalism point of view, really started out the publicity of the first big meeting of the leaders of
that. Well, the way I got into it is that. I had started to develop information on issues, but it had taken me, you know, you just don't start out in Alaska. I mean, it's different. You have to get a background of knowledge. And it took me fully, it was taking me a year to even get familiar with what some of the problems were, you know. Even though I was there to, it doesn't matter where you get, you have data, you can get more than usual.
Yeah, more than any other place in the state, I think.
But still yet, it was sort of slow. I was kind of slow because everything was so different. So, but then I was going on like that. One of them was that Point Hope bit. That I did a series, and they tried to stop the series and so forth, and I was on that deal. I put out that first
you tried to stop
deal.
The series.
Some representative that sold, he was a representative who sold equipment to laboratories. I started a series about that chariot deal. See, I had gone through the copy that the news miner had received. You know what they had printed and made be, and I had been gathering material from professors at the university. I've been interviewing them, and it didn't match. The material that was being put out on the AP had all these errors in it, according to the professors. For instance, it come out with a deal. The AEC had come out with a deal that June was a massive month for the blast. And according to the people there was over 50% of them from the University of Alaska that was studying the project, and they said that they hadn't even started to study June yet.
Is it true that the guy Foote, who did the studies, really blew his career in defense of Point Hope in that area, that he really started working for the Atomic Energy Commission or somebody and ended up really defending, going against the blast at his own expense?
Bill Foote, along with another man who was killed here.
Foote.
And they started out working for AEC in good faith, I believe, you know. And then as they went along, you know, they started seeing these funny little...
Same thing Tom saw on the AP wire.
Well, see, they were upset whenever I got there. It was not only them. It was about 50. It was about 50 of them, including one of the most respected scientists in Alaska at that time, Les Berry, who was the he was the president of the group of the Alaska Science Conference, what it was. He was the president of the thing, and he was very upset. And they were all upset, and they were writing their friends outside, you know, other scientists and so forth. And it was a deal where they had found radiation in the food chain. You know, you've seen this all this before about where it got in.
And I've been reading the old issues.
And the AEC had tried to cover this up.
You should see the letter I got from the AEC guy about how that Tundra Times has been misinformed about this and caused all this issue. I got this letter last month from the son of a bitch who ran off with the school teacher's wife who was doing the radiation studies up there. You should see it.
Isn't it better and better?
Who was it? Well, you know, and I went to Anacostia for a month. I thought one of my big things would be the radiation. It isn't. What they're worried about is the atomic energy man. The first guy who lived up here for a long time, they liked very much, but he ran off with the school teacher's wife. So they sent a replacement. This year, the replacement has been sleeping with Alan Hugo, who's married to a native up here. And so they're going to storm Washington and tell them not to send any more AEC men because they don't want them sleeping with the local women. And, you know, this is more of a problem than radiation.
Yes,
it is.
Well,
anyway, I wrote this guy for the figures, and he wrote me this very indignant letter, the current one, about how, you know, the Tundra Times had warped this thing out of proportion way back when. I thought, oh my gosh.
Well, it all depends on
see,
what
I
you
think we
say.
Warped the right way. Because,
I'm sure you did.
We didn't.
Tom was very much right on top of this problem, I think, you know?
Senator Bartlett was, too. If it hadn't been for Senator Bartlett, we never would have, I don't think we'd have been able to stop him, did. But Senator Bartlett got on, and he didn't take what they were saying either. They would say things like, it was the most reckless things. They would say, they were talking in terms of moving mountains about and doing mining and building canals and all kind of things. And they said it was no more harmless than luminous dials on a watch. They said this was no more dangerous than that. And, you know, it was just obvious. And that's what Senator Bartlett said, that he couldn't take it when they tell him it was no more dangerous than luminous dial wristwatches, you know. Well, anyway, this bit on when it got in their food chain. They tried to cover that up. And see, I was trying to put it out. And we put it out. And what happened was, the University of Glasgow was caught in the middle. They had been promised that they had been given this contract for research. And the research was supposed to come up a certain way. Well, you know, that's no good. If you give them a contract, and they're supposed to know the end result. When they started